Ben, you're too kind, mate. So today I've got my iPad up here and also my notes because I'm trying to transition between the two. I'm not very good at technology. It's a bit of a flaw of mine. So I've got both sets going here. So if I get lost on one sheet, I can jump to another, which is awesome. But I want to reiterate the words that Ben said this morning and say a massive thank you to the fathers in the room and the mothers. It's a privilege for me to be here this morning that you've given up your Sunday morning to listen to the word of the Lord. And in fact, fathers, you are so important to our society. At school, I have the privilege of working with young men between the age of 14 to 18, and so many of these young men don't have positive role models in their lives. And it just breaks my heart sometimes the conversations I have with these young men because they just haven't had those positive interactions modeled to them. So fathers, thank you for all that you do. The difference that you make, not only in your family's lives, but in the community, is setting up a generation of young men and women who can do life well. And I commend you and I thank you for that. And this morning, as I come to bring you the word, it's a word that the Lord has been permeating and preparing in my heart for the last couple of weeks. So it is my prayer that by His Holy Spirit, that He would sharpen it and that it would find the ripe soil in your heart and it would produce fruit. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you are faithful. I thank you for the words of the songs this morning, Lord, that you are speaking so clearly to us this morning about your love and your mercy and your grace. And I thank you for the prophetic word that Ben had over families this morning. And this morning, Lord, you want to restore and bring families to wholeness. God, that you want to heal the sick and you want to be our fortress, our strong tower. So we pray that as the word comes this morning, it would take root, Lord, and produce fruit, not only in our own families, but in our community as well, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And so this morning I'm talking about God is my refuge. God is our refuge. God is a God of refuge. And He's a refuge of love, a refuge of strength, and a refuge of perspective. The fathers in the room this morning would understand that our kids are such an amazing blessing in our life. Sometimes they can be such a source of joy and fun and excitement, but at times they can also cause us frustration and pain. At the moment, I've got two little boys. One of them is 1 year old and one is 7. And the favorite thing for us to do at the moment is wrestle. Now, being a sort of active guy, I enjoy wrestling with them. It's really, really just a magical time. My 1 year old, he loves to pull my hair and body slam on my face. So he likes to mess up my hair, poke me in the eyes, pull my ears, all those types of things. And then my oldest son, the 7 year old, likes pounding me on the ribs. So usually I'm lying on the bed and the one's on top of my head and the other's laying into my body. Now, lucky I'm a really tough guy because it's only very rare that I have to call my wife Melinda to come and save me from these little two savages. But there's another part of the coin as well. Being a father, we know that when our children are in pain, when our children are sick, when our children are hurting, it causes such deep distress in our own hearts and lives. And it's something I've been struggling with over the last 7 years to come to grips and terms with. And in recent times, my oldest son has been having some difficulties at school. He's been finding it difficult to live up to the expectations that people have placed on him, and it has stirred feelings in his heart, which are quite difficult to deal with. Feelings of being unworthy, feelings of being that he can't ever do anything right. And in fact, we were driving the car on the way to school a couple of weeks ago, and it was a beautiful morning, and we had a good breakfast. Everything was fine, but he was really sad for some reason, and he turned to me and he said, well, he was in the back, and I was in the front, and he looked in the little rearview mirror, and he said, Dad, I'm really sad. And naturally, I asked him, well, what are you sad about? We've had a great morning this morning. What's going on? And he said to me, I'm just sad because I'll never be able to do the right thing. I will never be a good boy. And as you can imagine, a father hearing that from their 7-year-old son just absolutely broke my heart. That this young man would already have developed this perception of himself at such an early age. And here is the thing. The enemy is cunning. He's the father of deceit. He will come to speak lies into our life. He is the father of lies. And he has come to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. Isn't it just like the enemy to strike us where we are most vulnerable? I wonder how many of us this morning are struggling with a word spoken over our lives. I wonder how many of us are clinging onto a lie that someone has sown into us. I know at times I find it really hard to deal with words that have been spoken. There's an old adage that says, sticks and stones might break my bones, but words would never hurt me. I don't know who wrote that, but they were completely and utterly wrong. It's in times like these where we need to turn our attention to our refuge and run to the only place that will provide us with safety and security. It's at times like these that we need to gird ourselves with the belt of truth and look to what our Heavenly Father says about us and says about our children and not believe the lie that we have been sold. If you have the Bible with you this morning, can you turn with me, please, to Psalm 71, verse 1 to 7. Should have it there on the screen as well. Psalm 71, verse 1 to 7. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Your righteousness rescues me and delivers me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give me the command to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. Who knows that our Heavenly Father wants us to be a sign to many of His faithfulness, of His goodness, of His provision in our life where times were difficult and we did not see a way out. One of the fundamental needs of being a human being is this need for safety and security. There was an American psychologist by the name of Abraham Maslow who came up with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And at the very, very bottom of this hierarchy, which is a psychological theory, by the way, that are used in many schools and counseling and different things like that. But at the bottom of this list of needs is our need for physical things like eating and drinking, food and water. Our physiological needs are right at the bottom. But the second pillar, which is super important for us and our human experience, is that of being safe and secure. And what Maslow argues is that if we don't have that safety and security, then we can never develop our sense of community, self-belief, and self-efficacy. In essence, what he's saying here is that when we don't feel safe and secure, we are never able to live up to our potential. The author of the book of Psalms understands this principle of safety and security, but he suggests that we don't find it in the physical things, not in a physical fortress, not in the food and drink we eat, but our safety comes from running into the arms of our Father. And as we read in Psalm 143, verse 9, this is the psalmist's response to this dilemma, this need for security in his life. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for you. O Lord, I have fled to you for refuge. One of the things the Psalms do so beautifully and why I love this book of Psalms is that it uses such descriptive language to paint a mental image
of what the psalmists are going through, the emotions that's running through their heart. And it's quite poetic in the language and the pictures and the images it paints. And one thing for me that comes to mind when I read this particular verse is like of a soldier in the medieval times who was in the massive battle, might have been wounded, and they're just limping, they're just crawling their way, trying to get back to the safety. They have been incapacitated by the circumstances that they find themselves in, and the only thing left to do for them is to go to safety, to refuge. And that's the image that is burnt into my mind. Sometimes that is all that we can do, is crawl, is limp towards our place of safety. And in fact, Charles Spurgeon, the famous theologian and preacher, had this to say. I want to read it to you. I think it's up on the board there. Many foes beset us. We cannot overcome them. We cannot even escape from them, but Jehovah can and will rescue us if we pray to him. The weapon of all prayer will stand us in better stead than any shield or sword. That which makes us flee to our God may be an ill wind, but it blows us good. There is no cowardice in such flight, but much holy courage. God can hide us out of the reach of harm and even out of the sight of it. He is our hiding place. Jesus has made himself the refuge of his people. The sooner and the more entirely we flee to him, the better it is for us. As we flee from our circumstances and our situations into the refuge of God, I believe that there is a transformation that occurs inside of our heart and inside of our mind. It's a displacement of disposition whereby our thinking and our thoughts process become challenged and changed. And so, time permitting this morning, what I would like to do is I would like for us to discover what happens, what is the transition that occurs when we run into the loving arms of our Father. What do we discover about his place of refuge? And I want to suggest that when we do that very thing, charge into the arms of our Father, we discover his refuge is a refuge of love, it's a refuge of strength, and it's a refuge of perspective. So turn with me to Psalm 91. We're jumping around a little bit this morning, just having to look at a different passages of Scripture. But Psalm 91, from verse 1 through to verse 4. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Lord Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wing you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Once again, I love the visual imagery here. Isn't it just like God to take his children and just pull them close to his side? And you think it's no coincidence that the psalmist hears adheres to this picture that we see in nature of a mother hen just sheltering its chicks under its wing. And the thing about this whole picture is that when the mother hen covers her chicks with her wings, she's protecting them from the elements, the weather, the things outside. But there's a second part to it. The hen is bringing the chicks close to her breast, close to her side, close to her heart, so that these little chicks can hear the heartbeat of the mother and be comforted by the warmth of the feathers. When we choose to run to the arms of our Heavenly Father, we are choosing to be caught up in a refuge of love. You know, with scientific advancements, recently they've done some scientific studies on the heartbeats of mothers and babies and infants. And one such study was conducted in the women's hospital out of Boston. And what they did is they took 40 really premature babies, and they did the study on them to find out what the effect would be if they played the mother's heartbeat and sound of the mother's voice to these babies. And what they found was actually quite fascinating. These little babies developed their auditory cortex, which is a part of the brain which helps them with hearing, much better than those who didn't have the heartbeat or the voice of the mother. Interesting stuff. In another study, they took infants and mothers, and they tried to see what would happen if they measured the heartbeats of the infants and the mums when they were together. And the thing they found was that these infants were able to synchronize their heartbeat within milliseconds of the mothers. And, you know, it's really interesting because when they took these babies and put them with other ladies who weren't their mothers, they didn't have the same results. It only happened when these babies were actually with their biological mothers. And even more interesting, it didn't just happen when these two were cuddling baby and mum, but it also happened when they were sharing a smile or the mother was speaking loving words over the baby. There was a synchronization of their hearts. And you know, the fact is that our God who created us, who knit us together in our mother's womb, knows exactly how our hearts work. And isn't it amazing to think that, yes, as an infant and a baby, our connection, our synchronization with our mother's heartbeat is really important. But for us as adults to develop for the rest of our life, our synchronization with our Father's heartbeat, our Heavenly Father's heartbeat, is what's really important. It's when we're close to His side, when we're under His wing, that we can hear the heartbeat of heaven, that we can hear the voice of our Heavenly Father. Running towards the arms of our Heavenly Father is running towards a refuge of love. I'd like us to turn our attention now to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 18, verse 1 to 10. An unfriendly person pursues selfish ends and against all sound judgment starts quarrels. Fools find no pleasure in understanding but delight in airing their own opinions. When wickedness comes, so does contempt. And with shame comes reproach. The words of the mouths are deep waters, but the fountains of wisdom is a rushing stream. It is not good to be partial to the wicked and so deprive the innocent justice. The lips of fools bring them strife, and their mouths invite a beating. The mouths of fools are their undoing. Their lips are a snare to their very lives. The words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. One who is slack in his work is a brother to one who destroys. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. You know, those first couple of verses, verse 1 to 9, are very interesting. And it follows much of the same progress as the book of Proverbs. See, in verse 1 to 9, it actually paints a picture and a contrast between what it means to be foolish, or what is folly, and what it means to be wise and what is wisdom. See, in verse 1 to 9, it describes a type of people who are self-assured and have this confidence in their ability and what they can do and what they can manage on their own. You know, it's a description of people who are arrogant and slanderous. I wonder if we've ever come across people like that. People who think that their opinion is so much more important than everyone else's opinion. People who value their opinion above the wisdom of others. Some might even say that they are extremely arrogant. But who knows that pride comes before a fall? Who knows that when we think we have it all together is a perfect time for life to give us a kick up the backside and send us tumbling down a hill? I know that I've been there myself. In my work at school. I have the privilege of often catching up with parents and students to talk about life and talk about how they're going at school and maybe think about some strategies, about things that can be implemented to help them succeed. And last year I had an incident where I had to organise a meeting with a parent of a young man who was finding it very difficult. He had some situations at school where he was choosing some negative interactions with his peers and with teachers. And so we pulled parents in for a meeting. And prior to the meeting, I had done these meetings before and I'd done all my preparation. I'd talked to all the teachers. I spoke to the young man. I had looked up his portfolio, done everything that I needed to do, apart from the most important thing, which was spend time in prayer. So I was prepared in all the physical senses and all the mental sense of the word. I felt like I had the skills and the experience to actually do a really good job, but unfortunately I hadn't spent time doing the most important thing, which was prayer. Now, to give you a bit of a, what's the word I'm looking for? To tell you how the story ended before I even started, it was terrible, okay? The meeting was an absolute disaster. So what happened was the parent turned up to the reception and I organized a specific room for us to have this meeting in, but the receptionist sent them to the wrong room. So for 20 minutes, the parent was walking around the school trying to find where I was. I was sitting in the room thinking, geez, this parent might be late. Maybe it's not happening today. Completely oblivious to the storm that was coming my way. In any case, 20 minutes later, the parents sort of stormed over and they had their child in tow and they were ready to have this meeting. But unfortunately, the room that I'd booked needed to be used for something else. So then we had to reallocate from there. So you can imagine how furious the parent would be in this situation, understandably, of course. And so we eventually got to this new meeting space and we sat down. And just as we were about to start the meeting, the parent invited this young man to come into the meeting. Now, usually we allow the students to come in maybe halfway through or towards the end of the meeting, but she was adamant that she wanted him there at the start. And the first thing the parent asked the student was to tell me what he thought about me. And that young man didn't hold back, let me tell you, okay? So with all those things considered, you can imagine that this meeting was completely unproductive. I had a plan that I was hoping we could implement to help this young man, and unfortunately, I left that meeting completely distraught and devastated. Consequently, that young man has moved on from school and pursuing other things in his life. But the question remains, would there have been a different outcome if I had spent time in prayer? If I had spent time preparing myself spiritually and running into the arms of my Father instead of standing on my own skills and abilities and my own wisdom, which I thought was enough to handle the situation? Heed the words of Proverbs. Doesn't it make a massive difference when we are standing with the one who created us, when we're standing in the refuge of safety and strength instead of our own skills and knowledge? Can you turn to Psalms 27, verse 5 for me, please? When we turn to run to the refuge of our Father's loving arms, we turn and run to the refuge, the fortress of His strength. Psalm 27, verse 5 reads, "For on the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His sacred tent and set me high upon a rock." Within this psalm, we see the psalmist make an interesting proclamation here, a very bold proclamation, if you like. He says that he will find safety in the sacred tent. Now, to give you a little bit of context for this particular verse, there's a couple of different ideas relating around it, but one that I really like is that this sacred tent was, in fact, the pavilion set up in wartime behind the line of battlefield. And in this pavilion, the most important people of the army were usually hid here. This is where they made all the decisions and worked out the battle tactics of the battlefield. And you had your generals, and even at times, the king housed here in this pavilion. This pavilion was guarded by the elite guard and was considered the most safe place that you could possibly be on the battlefield. Now, here we see the psalmist saying that he wants to run into this place of safety. Could you imagine running from your circumstance, from your enemy, and fleeing straight into the war room of heaven? Into the war room where the most important people are hanging out and making decisions. Who knows? Maybe we might even be able to find out what God's plan is in all of our suffering and the things that are going around us. Maybe we'll be able to find out that God has a perfect plan and His plan surpasses the situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in. And this leads me to the second part of the verse, which says, He set me high upon a rock. He set me high upon a rock. When we find our refuge in God, what happens is that we find a transition in our perspective. No longer do we see our circumstance from a ground level where it is narrow and we don't have the whole picture, but we are placed from this perspective to a higher, holier perspective. And it's on this rock where we get to see that God is actually in control, that the problems and the situation we are facing that seem insurmountable are minuscule in comparison to the plan that He has for us. Now, please don't get me wrong this morning. I know that the pain and frustration we feel because of the circumstances we find ourselves in is very real for us. I'm not suggesting for a second that we put our head in the sand and just pretend that all our problems will simply float away into the ether. But what I do believe is that when we have a change in perspective, that we realize these weights, these situations where we feel we cannot bear, can be given to someone else. There's some of us in this room who might be struggling with doctor's reports, who've received negative information. There might be some of us who are struggling to work out where our next paychecks are coming from or how we're going to pay the bills. There might be some of us who are struggling with relationships, with a breakdown in our family. There might be some of us here who have lost people we love. All of those situations are very difficult to reconcile. They're very difficult for us to bear in our own strength. But this morning, I want to encourage you that we don't need to. All we need to do is turn and run into the arms of our Father, because when Jesus went to the cross, He carried all our sin, our shame, our pain on His shoulders. We don't need to carry that anymore because He has done it for us. We don't need to go any further than the crucifixion of Jesus on a Roman cross to see that any situation that we are going through, any circumstance that we find ourselves in, doesn't compare to the pain and the suffering that He went through on our behalf. As He was stretched out for the whole world to see, naked and bleeding, He not only had to go through the physical torment of the cross, but the emotional strain of being separated from the Father and carrying the weight of the world as well. One of my favorite verses, I think it's the last one here, is Matthew 11, 28, verse 30. It reads, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hope Point this morning as we finish. I want to remind you that we have a refuge in God that we can turn to. A refuge that is a refuge of love. And it's the midst of our Father's heart under His wing. When times get difficult, that we can cry out, Abba, Father. And we can hear the voice of the one created speak back to us and say, Son or daughter, I love you. I'm with you. I understand what you're going through. You don't have to do this alone. When we turn and pursue the heart of our Father, when we chase after the refuge of God, we receive strength to know that we don't have to do it alone. When we're facing that difficult meeting, when we're trying to work out what to do in a situation, God promises that His refuge is a refuge of strength. It is a fortress. It is a strong tower. And we can push into God and He will keep us safe from behind the walls of His protection. And lastly, when we run into the refuge of God, we run into a different perspective. A perspective that changes the way we see our world, that changes the way we see our situations, not from a physical perspective, but from a higher and holier spiritual perspective. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the rock, that Jesus' sacrifice is a sacrifice above all sacrifices. That we can have our feet placed upon the rock, which is Jesus, and that you promise to save, Lord, to save us from our circumstances, to save us from our broken heart, to save us from our sin. This morning, Lord, we pray that you would help us turn away from our pain and suffering and turn towards the glorious light, which is you. Thank you that you are our refuge. In our greatest time of need. Amen.